Would you introduce yourselves, please?
My name is Stephen Rutherford.
My name is Alan Thomas.
Oh, and we don't have the stereo mics on, but at the top of your lungs, or however you want to do it, you can sing it. What is the name of this thing?
This band?
Whatever it is.
Joan!
I don't know about the natural reverb on that. And you kind of did a at the end of it. 2 years-ish, Arkansas, different bands, wrote a song, online blogs. You were 2 different bands, Brothers and Company and Canopy Climbers.
I'm amazed. I don't know that we've gotten the question, how hard is it touring?
You know what? I have a question for you. Ready? This is a very deep question. How hard is it touring?
It's a lot of fun, but it's not glamorous at all. I think people have a misconception of how glamorous it is.
That is why, it is fun for that first few times, and then you're kind of like, I don't know about this. But that said, it's part and parcel with the game, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think there's a differentiation between we have a blast on stage playing. Like, that 30 minutes you're on stage is what it's about. It's all the other things around that and the travel.
You mean like the I-5 going up the grapevine back and forth between L.A. and and here? You mean you don't think that's like really pretty?
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's very pretty.
No, it's not. If you like Dustin Farms, then it's
Arkansas. We're from Arkansas.
Yeah, that's right. So you like Dustin Farms. Okay, so let's clear up a few things. Little Rock, college, but you didn't go to college at the same time.
I'm older than Steven by five years.
Oh my gosh. Generation gap.
I know. Ugh.
Massive. Yeah. And who studied music? Did both study music, or did one study like culinary psychosis or something?
He studied music, drums, right?
Yeah.
I studied marketing. That was my major.
What were you going to do? I mean, marketing to pop music, what is wrong with you? If you studied marketing, you should know better.
Well, yeah. I mean, music was the goal the whole time.
My parents said, if you go to school for music.
Yeah. Well, so I always, business is has always been a like, I love it. And I always loved it growing up. And that was my backup plan. But the more I learned, the more I figured out that they kind of go hand in hand, music and marketing do. I mean, we do all our own visuals, all our own graphics and all that. Even down to we do a lot of our own advertising and stuff like that, like online. And I feel like learning that helped us out.
Church is a big thing, both in the songs, and so there is this kind of long range. I mean, if you take some of those people that we're not going to talk about that are your influences, like maybe that purple guy. He was a pretty reverent, despite the fact that he was as wild as he was. Where is that split between being church-going and this still being a major thing in your life and realizing that you're also in this business of debauchery?
Yeah, I think we've had several conversations on this, actually, as of late. I think for us, I wouldn't say it's necessarily a goal, but inadvertently, we kind of desire to make like what we would call wholesome pop. Like there's a thing about writing pop songs, love, sex, rock and roll, all these themes that you can write about. And we kind of went, hey, we're both happily married guys, why don't we write love songs about our wives? Like
that. I had that. That's right down there. Oh,
there you go. There you go. Or when we're storytelling, maybe we storytell some about someone going through a heartbreak. But for us, it's like we don't necessarily see the need to have the debauchery. Like, it's fine that it's there.
But you're admitting you're having sex with your wives.
Well, yes, we're definitely.
We're definitely having sex.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, no, but I mean, if you were members of the priesthood,
Yeah. We're not living celibate lives now. If that's what you're asking.
But this is important because the fans. They see you, they don't, two guys, and they don't, I mean, you don't come out on stage and go, oh, by the way, the songs are about our wives, right? Because that would kind of be a buzzkill, wouldn't it?
Yeah, no, I mean, there's a part of the mystery behind it that's nice to have, the allure of what are these guys about, what do they do on the weekends.
Yeah, but when a fan comes up to you at the merch stand, and they're kind of looking like, Well, at what point do you say, well, I'm taken?
I don't think we've ever thus far gotten directly hit on, at least to my knowledge. Maybe we're oblivious, but no one has ever come into the merch table and gone, like, here's my number or something like that.
It's never been really direct where we had to be like, yeah. No thanks.
I know this is silly, but it's relevant. It's really important for people to know this, because this stuff is not in any of the conversation. Let's go back in time. You wrote Take on Me for licensing, quote, and I have purchased many a sink in my life, so I know what licensing is. Yeah. Was that kind of deliberate, saying maybe before we enter into this, we might want to make some real money?
That's exactly what it was. Yeah, I mean, he
back to marketing.
Well, since he was a little bit older than I was, or am, he had graduated already. He was doing music full time, and a lot of the way he was making money was licensing. And I was looking to do that too, and I already had my feet in it a little bit, just with my other band. But we were looking to just get together and see what we can write for licensing specifically, and we ended up with Take
Me. So what is the definition, because there's syncs, and then there's, oh, maybe a brand will pick this up, you know, and give us free clothing. Right. I mean, because a lot of bands make a ton of money just wearing duds. Right. I mean, seriously.
So for us early on, it was, we were more in the micro licensing world, so it was like, we had connections with smaller, they're bigger companies, but they're not doing like major movies and things like that. This was like, you know, songs for wedding videos and
I had no idea that industry existed.
Yeah, yeah. Which obviously Take Me On doesn't necessarily fit the wedding video vibe, but it was just naturally what came out of us, and that's when we kind of looked at each other at the end of that session, and I remember texting after it when we had broke for the day, and we were like, okay, this is more than a licensing project. This is a band. We kind of knew the first day.
So. Okay, so then you write, you know, with somebody else, you get a little label notice, you know, you put it up on the internet thingies and the blog thingies, and you get that stuff. Being you're in marketing and being you are out there, you're pretty savvy. So did a lot of labels approach you? And if so, how did you settle in on, and I'm completely confused by this, because there's like Universal Sweden in the mix, uh-huh. Right? But then there's Snafu, which was done by some, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of like from me, you know, I get it from a promo person, and it says Universal Sweden, and I'm like, Arkansas?
Yeah.
Universal Sweden. Yeah. And I understand how distribution works, but tell me a little bit how you, first of all, let's talk about labels. Did you get approached by a bunch?
Yeah, we did. We got approached by definitely, I'd say, a handful of labels right off the bat, but it was, you know, it's the...
Was there a lot of, hey, babe, hey, babe, here's what we're going to do, and the A&R people are like, okay, here's where we're taking you, and the two of you are a little smarter than that, and you're kind of like, no!
More like a lot of junior A&R college people, that it's like handshake, hey, nice to meet you on the phone, let's keep in touch.
They might as well be agents.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and then that moved in, we established a relationship with a guy named Chad, who... he runs Hilly Dilly, the blog, and he had just started a new thing called 20XX that was like a small 50-50 licensing label deal, basically, like an indie thing. And he had some investors, and he was like really going for it. And another band that had just signed to it previous to us was a band named Courtship.
Okay.
And they were seeing some cool success with their first couple songs through him. So we were like, hey, it's really a no-brainer. It was like a two-year deal, 50-50. Basically, they didn't own anything, and they just licensed it. And Chad was just a champion for us. So that's really what got us on the map first, was our working with Chad, I'd say.
But in terms of distribution. We released, it's called I Loved You First Now, but it was called With Somebody Else. We released that, just on SoundCloud. And even from that, we got a huge response from label people. And at the beginning, we were just like, let's take every single call. Most of them probably aren't going to amount to anything.
They're just scouring. They're just like, this is the new A&R, is they have like 25 juniors in a room who do nothing but scour SoundCloud to try to find the next thing. It's what a weird world.
Yeah. Well, and from that, we ended up having a call with Chad from Hilly Dilly, and it all worked out with that. And then, you know, from there, we met our management from that. And so, and they're from London.
They flew in to see our very first show ever. in Little Rock, and the next day we went to lunch and spent the whole day, and just, it was like a match made in heaven. And then through them we got booking, and like just the team was developed from through management. And then, so to answer your, if you want to skip forward to the Universal Sweden thing,
right.
Snafu reached out to us. They are almost like algorithm based, and they're like, they have like this algorithm that just finds, based on this data that they put in, these certain music trends, and one of our songs popped up in it. So they start, yeah, like it's the future is now kind of thing.
And so
they reached out, loved us. They flew us out to Sweden to meet them. They are the actual label, and then they are like a, it's like a dual deal with Universal Sweden. So it's like upstreamed through Universal's
and
system.
In the end, it doesn't really matter because there's so little physical out there anyway that it doesn't really make a difference where your label is.
Right. Yeah, and that's,
what a weird world, though, huh?
It's cool for our story because when we released with somebody else, and even into the first few singles, we always got from journalists, like, we didn't put where we were from, not necessarily intentionally, we just honestly didn't think about it. And we got, oh, LA-based Joan, New York-based Joan, Brooklyn.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. My first thing I got was kind of like Brooklyn. And I'm like, and I got a win in this deep, and I was like, no.
Yeah. And so we've kind of started out as like this ominous, where are they from? And then we really just settled on like, no, we're from Little Rock, because we're from. And now we are truly like an international team band. It's weird. And I love it. I wouldn't have it any other way.
No, it gets you further. Yeah. All right, my favorite thing is I like to blow up genres because they don't exist in my world. The only thing that exists in my world is a great song. It doesn't have to be well sung. It just has to be put over well.
Yeah.
Indie pop. I don't care about indie pop. I don't even know what it is.
I don't either.
But here's what I care about. And I came up with this about a year ago, and people seem to really resonate to this. What is, when you two... All right, we'll get into the writing, and I understand how that sort of kind of works, but we'll get there. We'll get into nonsense lyrics, and we'll get into melodies and hooks and blah, blah, blah. What is the filter for a Joan song?
It's usually melody-based, like a vocal line of some sort, and right. Then we work on the track, and then I'll pitch something to Steven and go, hey, I think there's something in this, and he'll go like, yeah, I love that, or
right.
Whatever. And then
right.
And then we like settle on, okay, if we're both into it, then let's really pursue this thing. I'd say the overall goal for us is the same feeling that I get listening to certain iconic songs in my own life. They're not necessarily iconic songs to everyone, but just songs for me that mean something to me, whether they're things my dad listened to or I grew up on or new stuff. It's usually the melody for me personally that affects me emotionally, and I hear it and it makes my hair stand up on my arm, and I go, let's chase that. Let's find that in our own music. And that's where we kind of... That's what we're searching for.
Anything to add to that?
I would just say, and I think this is something that balances us out well, is for me, the melody's huge, but what's around the melody is huge for me. It's just like the whole feeling of the song, just like he was saying, like what makes him feel from a melody, how the song is made and the sounds around it really do something to me too.
At what moment did you just kind of say, look, we're smart, we know how this all works, but you know what, we're just going to embrace the way the world is today for moment one and not even think about a big fat concept album?
Yeah, well, a big part of it, I think, is we both realized in our own listening, like, our attention spans are so short nowadays, like, just because there's so much information. So it's like, how are we going to make us any sort of splash if we drop 12 songs right off the bat? You know, it was kind of like, we need to just introduce ourselves. That was kind of the original goal. And then we just rather liked the model of, it allowed us some freedom to have time to write and time to shape exactly what we wanted. Because instead of having like, let's block out, you know, 3 months to just like create, and then release all of that, it allows you a little bit scheduling to go, hey, we've got this month, let's really hone in on these few songs and then let the best man win kind of thing. And then we can...
You don't have to be a part of the album cycle.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, yeah. And I would say, on top of that, like, it gave us time to help us, like, figure out who we were as a band, like, just sonically and, like, from a writing standpoint. Because, you know, we were able to write a bunch of songs and then release just a few from that batch, like the ones that we were super stoked about. And, you know, that allowed us to keep writing and keep releasing slowly. So,
yeah. All right. So, like, I'll do this in the weird announcer thing. So, like, your synth sounds, they are decidedly, and I was there for all of that, and you definitely have gone decidedly retro. Yeah. Decidedly.
It all starts on software that emulates it, but it's, like, we have an entire Roland pack that's a software plugin pack that it's all their own original emulation of the real stuff. Yeah. So we've got a Juno 106, but it's like just software, not the real thing. But we have a good buddy, Maddie, back home, who's helped us produce some of our songs out too, who has a nice little collection of actual synths too. Like, he's got a Juno, he's got a Jupiter, he's got a bunch of different stuff. But so sometimes we go back and layer on top with the real stuff, just because it's, you can't beat the warm analog thing.
And how long, and I'm going to be totally, no, I don't want to say cynical, I'm going to be very real here. How long do you feel you can ride that wave? And how much have you talked about what the next wave would be?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're already, not with this last single, but the next few are already exiting that wave a bit. I have to clarify that we definitely didn't, there was never a moment where we sat down and went like 80s.
Right.
It goes back to what I said about when you were asking kind of how we filter our ideas. It all goes back to the feeling we get. And for some reason in this last season, that feeling we've been chasing, we get from some of that production.
Sure.
And there are certain, I mean, even down to like certain snare sounds that I'm like, we're pulling them up and we're filtering through like every producer does, trying to find that perfect sound. And we hit it and we're like, oh, that's it. That's what we're looking for. And it just so happens that a lot of that, you know, had that nostalgic vibe to it. But it was never like a conscious, like, we're going to be an 80s throwback band. It was just like, hey, these things influenced what we grew up on.
Finger snaps are cool.
Yeah, we like things.
It worked for Boys to Men.
What's wrong with
that's our next wave is a 90s boy band.
Yeah, what's
see
wrong
you there.
With finger snaps?
That's our bio.
Yeah.
Finger snaps are still cool.
I have invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs on the outside and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between.